Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Tet, and we're holding on Nun Tet Amid Beis, about a third of the way up, Tana Rabbanan. It's after learning the different Zmanim yesterday that would apply to the Dinim of the Shchitas and Hakrovas, Hakorban Tomit Shobein HaArbaim, in which we were sort of pushed with a lot of different factors, including leaving enough time for bringing a Korban Pesach afterwards and enough time for bringing the Dorim and the Dovas before and enough time to bring, if it were Shabbos, the Bezichin, and if it were Shabbos, enough time, if it were Erev Shabbos, I mean enough time to actually prepare the Korban Pesach and roast it before, and the problem of whether the meat would possibly spoil. All of these things were pushing us in different directions, and therefore we ended up with different compromises on five different periods, Chol, Shabbos, Erev Pesach B'Chol, Erev Pesach at Shabbos, Erev Pesach at Erev Shabbos, and so on. We also learned the various things that apply to timing in the Torah, so that the different Avedas would be defined by the way that the Torah presents them, the earliest being the repetition of Boker, the next being just plain Boker, the next being Yom, the next being Yom, which would put it off a little bit more into the afternoon, the next being Bein Arbaim, and then we have both Be'erev and Bein Arbaim, which is the latest. So there were a lot of things that we really didn't discuss that seemed to either have their own kind of issues that we haven't taken into consideration yet in terms of timing, and or things that fit in to the other times of the Torah that we haven't bothered mentioning. And that's what we're going to do today. So we start off with the Tana Rabbanan because we spoke it out, but we haven't learned this yet. The Tana Rabbanan on Nun Chet Amid Beis, Minayin Shelo Yeh Dover Kodem LeTomid Shel Shachar. First of all, how do we know that all of the Karbanas, we're taking for granted that you're going to have to bring the Nedarim V'Nedavas after the Tomid Shel Shachar? How do we know that? Well, because it says in the Torah, V'Arach Olea Ha'Ola. So, what does that show? My Talmud, I understand. That proves something? V'arach aleha ha'ola? I mean, that's talking about bringing the korban tomit shel shachar. The pasuk is, ha'esh al mizbeach tukad bo lo tichpeu, v'yer aleha ha'kohen, etzim ba'boker, v'arach aleha on that ma'arechet ha'ola. So, I mean, maybe we were bringing other things before that. How does that prove anything? Omar Abaye, because when it says V'arach aleha ha'ola v'iktir, you might think that you could bring something before. It says v'iktir aleha chaveh ha'shlamim. What that means is Omar Abaye, aleha shlamim. You can bring on it the shlamim. Sorry, I skipped. Sorry, I'm still in the middle. V'arach aleha ha'ola, my Talmud, Omar Rava ha'ola. Ha'ola with the ha'yidiya is a reference to the Ola Rishona. So in other words, this is the thing that you are putting to bring up. Sorry, I skipped there. And how do we know that you can't bring anything after the Tamid Shebein Arbaim? Talmud Omar V'Ktir Aleha. On that, you can bring the Chaveh HaShlamim. What does that mean? Omar Abaya, it means you can only bring your Korban Shlamim, which are your Nedarim V'Nedavos, on this Ola that we just talked about, which was the Olas HaBoker. But you cannot bring shlamim on the other oila, which is the oila of the korban tamid shel bein arbaim. So lo al chaver tashlamim, matkif lo rava. That's not good enough, because all that would prove is that you can't bring the korban shlamim. But what if you were makri, you were no dare or no day of a korban oila? If the Torah means literally shlamim, so then it seems to be telling me a particular halacha that the shlamim of your nedarim v'nedavos have to be brought between the two korbanos tamid. But if you're bringing an oila, then maybe that oila is not defined by the other oilas, which are the tamid. Ela amar Rava, I think that the word shlamim over here does not mean korban shlamim, but rather chalvei hashlamim means hashleim aleha, meaning complete all other korbanos, kol hakorbanot kulam. That's the hashlamim, that which completes your work for the day. Okay, so that shows us that we're limited. Of course, it doesn't address why we bring our korban Pesach after the korban tamid shel bein arbaim. It seems to be saying even the korban Pesach should be included. It's saying all of your korbanos should be between the two korbanos. So Tana Rabbanan. So the first thing that we need to understand is the korban tamid shel bein arbaim comes before the korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach comes before bringing the Keteres, and the Keteres comes before lighting the Neros at night. Now, why is this? And that's because Yu'uchar Davar, you have to take a look at the Lashon of the Pasuk. The Pasuk uses the word Erev, and it says, Shom Tizbach Ata Pesach Bo Erev. And it also says, V'shachatu Oto Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael, Bein Ha'arbaim, which means that we have a double Lashon of evening time when it comes to the Korban Pesach. And therefore, let that item, that is to say, the Korban Pesach, about which the Torah says both Be'erev and Bein Ha'arbaim, that should come later to something that was only called Be'erev, because over there it says Et HaKeves HaSheni Ta'aseh Bein Ha'arbaim, and therefore the Lashon of Bein Ha'arbaim alone, it doesn't say, only it says Bein Ha'arbaim and not Erev. L'davar shelo ne'emar bo Be'erev ela Bein Ha'arbaim bilvat. So that means that the Pesach comes later. And this was the point that we mentioned before. You can have Ba'boker and you can have Ba'erev, but you could also have Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arbaim. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, then the Keteres and the Neros should come before the Pesach. And you said the Keteres and the Neros should come after the Pesach for exactly the same reason. Because, again, the Korban Pesach, about which it says both Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arbaim, ought to come before the Hadlokas HaNeros, which it says, Ubei Ha'alot Aharon et HaNeirot Bein Ha'arbaim. It doesn't say Ba'erev anywhere. It says Yaktirena. So that means the Ha'alat HaNeirot with the Ktoret are all a Bein Ha'arbaim issue and not a both Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arbaim issue. So how come we're not consistent? Why do we put the Pesach after the Tamid Shel Bein Ha'arbaim, but before the Keteres and the Neros? Answers the Gemara, that is a completely different issue. And that is because the Torah mentions specifically, when it comes to the Hadlaka, a different issue, and that is the Yaroch Oto Aharon Uvanav, Mei Erev Ad Boker. So now that means that we've got something strange over here, something where the nature of the Avodah is that it continues on. Now, this doesn't mean you can light it, Mi Erev Ad Boker, but it means that that Avodah that you did, Bein Ha'arbaim, is something that continues on all night long. Okay, so from there I learn out, as we'll see, that you have to have enough fuel in there that it should burn all night long. But meanwhile, it also tells us, Oto. Oto means this is the only thing that you are going to be doing that is affecting the entire night. And therefore, we understand that it means there shouldn't be anything else like a Korban Pesach that will be coming Mei Erev Ad Boker. That means that this is the last thing you're going to be doing in the day. So therefore, if we take a look, Shanei Hata, D'miyat Rachmana Oto, take a look at the Braita. It says Mei Erev Ad Boker. So the Lashon over here is specifically Yaroch Oto Aharon Uvanav Mei Erev Ad Boker. So this teaches us a number of things. First of all, Tein La Midata She'Te Doleket Mei Erev Ad Boker. It's got to have enough fuel in there that on the longest night of the year, it's going to be able to burn Mei Erev Ad Boker, and that is the shear that you put in every night of the year. Dover Acher, Ein Lecha Avodah She'Ksheira Mei Erev Ad Boker El Azu. There's nothing else that you should be doing, you should begin being Isaac in once the menorah is lit. And that's Gufa learned from my time. How do we see that from the Pasuk? Omar Kra, Yaroch Oto Aaron Uvanav Mei Erev Ad Boker. This means Oto Mei Erev Ad Boker, Ve'in Davar Acher Mei Erev Ad Boker. So that is the whole meaning of the Oto. And now you'll say, okay, but that's only the Neirot. Ah, but remember that the Neirot, we just said before, is at the same time as the Yaktirena. So if that's the case, then the Torah is comparing the din of the Keteres to the din of the Menorah, and therefore we can't do the Menorah and the Keteres before the Korban Pesach. Now, it's interesting that even though this is the way we just pasken, there's a Braita that, in fact, uses what we thought was a question as a reason to have a different Seder. And it actually says that we're supposed to do it the way we asked. Tanya Kikushan. Here's a Braita that says things the way we ask. That in fact, the Tamid, which is the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, comes before the Keteres. The Keteres comes before the Neres, but those Neres come before the Korban Pesach for exactly the reason that we proposed, namely, Yuchar Davar Shenemar Bo Be'erev U'Bein Arbayim, let the thing, which is, namely, the Korban Pesach, about which it says both Be'erev and Bein Arbayim, that should come before the Keteres and the Menorah, about which it only says Bein Arbayim. And then the Gemara asks, wait a minute, but I thought we explained why we don't believe that. So how come the Braita sticks with it? We said we learn out from the Oto that it says by the Hadlokas HaNeiros that actually that has to be the last thing in the day. How does this Braita understand the Oto? Says the Gemara, no, this Braita understands the Oto in a very special way. It understands Oto the way we usually take a miut. Oto is a miut, this and not something else. When we decide what a miut is coming to be memayit, we always first look at the set of things that are included in the overall statement and then apply the miut to members of the set. We don't expand the envelope of a miut beyond the context in which it was set. Now, if that's the case, then if the Oto is talking about the Hadlokas HaNeiros, those Hadlokas HaNeiros are part of the very limited set of things that are done inside of the Heichal. Everything else that we talk about is done outside of the Heichal. And therefore, the Oto is in fact a miut, but it's coming to be memayit any other Avodah Shebifnim. And what would that mean? That would mean that the Ketoret you cannot do, which is part of the set of things done inside. And why would I have thought that I could do the Ketoret? Because Salkatai Tchamina, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, U'baha'alot aharonet ha'nerot bein arbaim yaktirena. Now, the simple meaning of that Pasuk is that when Aaron does the Hadlokas HaNeiros, then he should go and do the Ketoret. That's what I would have thought. And that would mean that first Nadlik Neros Bereisha, Vahader Nakter Ketores, which would be the last thing of the day, would be the Ketores. That's why the Torah has to say, Oto mi Erevat Boker, but not the other. But what's the other? The Ketores. Not the other is the Korban Pesach. What does Korban Pesach have to do with the set of things that's brought inside the Heichal? So therefore, the way this Braita comes out, it's only necessary to tell me the dinim of the Ketores. Now the question is, why is that necessary? Because doesn't it say, what's happening here? The Pasuk says, Bein Arbayim Yaktirena. So then that, just leave that out and then you can leave this out. I understand. If the Torah is telling you that when Aaron is Bein Arbayim Yaktirena, after he does Badlikot HaNeirot, so then didn't you set us up for failure? Why did it say Bein Arbayim Yaktirena, which is Mash, where the Ketores is burnt after the menorah, and now we need the Miyot? No, Ochikamar. The Torah is saying that at the time that you are being Madlik Neirais, it should be in a state of Yaktirena, of having been burned, because the Lashon Yaktirena can mean you shall see to it that it will already have been burned. So on the contrary, it's coming to tell me that I need to be certain that the menorah is lit with the Keteret surrounding it already. So that would mean that the Seder would be like this. Tana Rabban, in the Chadavar Shekodem LaTomid Shel Shachar, first of all, there is no korban that comes before the Tomid Shel Shachar other than the Ketores. Why would that be? Because by the Ketores, it says, Baboker, Baboker, Yaktirena. So then that would mean a double Baboker, which means that it's got to be brought earlier. Baboker, Baboker, Beitivot, HaNeirot, Yaktirena. And when it comes to the Tomid Shel Shachar, it only says, Et HaKeves Echad, Yaseh Baboker. That's one Boker. This is two Bokers, which means earlier in the morning. So this is the opposite. It's the mirror image of our other drasha about Erev and Bein Arbayim, which is the earlier thing, Yugdam, make earlier, a Dover Shenemar Bo Baboker Baboker, and that's because it says, Viktir Alav Aron Ketoret Samim Baboker Baboker, L'dover shelo nemar bar ela boker echad, as opposed to et hakeves echad taaseh baboker. And therefore, we know we've got to go to the earliest thing first. So we do the ketores first. And on the other hand, the same thing is true in a mirror image in the afternoon. Ein lecha davar shemitakev acher tamid shel ben arbaim. The only thing that we wait until after the tamid shel ben arbaim is the ketoret and the neirot and the korban pesach. And there's one additional case. The other case would be, let's say you have a guy who is not going to be able to eat his korban pesach. And the reason he's not going to be able to eat his Karban Pesach is because he's a Mechuser Kippurim. Let's see, he was a Zov, maybe a Mitzorah. He went to the mikveh on day 7, but he has not brought yet his Karban on day 8. And his day 8 is Erev Pesach. Now he's in big trouble, because if it's already after the Zman of the Karban Shel Ben Arbaim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and he's bringing his Karban Pesach, he's not going to be able to eat his Karban Pesach because he's still going to be a Mechuser Kippurim in the evening, and therefore he'll be usher to eat. So in order to enable him to be Mekayim a Mitzvah Saseh, which is the most Chomor Aseh besides the Mitzvah of Mila, in which you're going to be Chayev Kores if you're not Mekayim that Mitzvah Saseh, so because of that, we allow him to do the wrong thing and bring his Karban after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, even though he's being over on the Pusik that Rava quoted before, namely, Hashleim, we learned, Vakreva Alea at the Shlamim, as Rava said, means, that's called, by the way, the overall term for that, because of the way Rava put it, you should have this in your list of Munachim, Mitzvat Hashlama. There is a mitzvah to see to it that all things are Mashlim themselves on the Tamid Shel Shachar. And if you let a person go ahead and be makriv after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, he is going to be over on this mitzvah saseh of Alea HaShleim. And therefore we say, look, but the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah that you're chayav kares on, is more chomer than this iser of bringing something after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So in that event, even a mechuser kippurim who had not brought his korban be'erev Pesach, he's allowed to bring the korban of Mechuser Kippurim, and then he goes to the mikveh again, and then he eats his korban Pesach that night. Why does he go to the mikveh again? This is obviously only a derabbanan, and it's part of the din of Hesach Hadas. Remember that the rabbanan made a lot of malos for achilas kachim. And one of those malas is that the moment that you no longer viewed yourself as being in a position to eat kachim, you immediately become tamei for eating kachim. Amazing din. Which we saw, we've spoken about before. It was a question whether Hesach Hadas is because just the Etzem Hesach Hadas or whether it's because of a chashash tuma. That since you're no longer as conscious about the implications of Tuma vis-a-vis Kodesh, so then we view you as essentially not being aware of what's going on around you. And therefore, it's a chisaron, and perhaps you became Tomei. Remember that the entire sugya of Seder Tyrus is about consciousness. That's why it's called Das, Chochmas Vadas. Because of that, any limited consciousness immediately puts you into a state of greater Tuma. Now, it's not that the Torah is going to be that makpid on you, and the minute you lose consciousness, you're going to become tamei. But the Rabbonin were makpid on different madregas of consciousness. So as we know, the mala is for pora, the mala is for kachim, the mala is for truma, and any level for the next level up is considered to be automatically tamei. So because of this, the moment that the guy became tor for achilas kachim, he now has to go to the mikveh again. And we just throw it in here because we don't want you to think just as soon as you bring your korban, you're going to be able to eat your korban Pesach. Now, Rabbi Shmo ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, now that's not the only case. Because even if somebody is a mechuser kippur, let's say the guy brought a korban. He brought a nadarim, a neder, a nadava that day. And it's a shlamim. He brought it at the right time, you know, before the korban tamid was brought. And now he's got a mitzvah to eat that korban. Well, now he realizes, oh my God, we didn't bring yet my korban to be matir mi, my mechuser kippurim, to be matir mi in achilas kachim. What am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to eat my basar shlomim, which is a mitzvah for me to eat. So I say, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, any guy that's in a position of needing to eat kachim, he is allowed to actually bring his korban after the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, go to the mikveh and eat his korban. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. I understand, according to the Tanakhama, who said that this was a halacha that was limited to special case of korban Pesach. There it made sense, because Bishlam, the Tanakhama, he says the essay of a korban Pesach is more chomor, because it's an essay that has chorus in it, if somebody didn't bring his korban Pesach, and that is more chomor than the essay of Hashlama. So let that be docha, the essay of Hashlama, which is not so chomor, doesn't have a chorus. But according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, why in the world would we be over on the essay of Hashlama to allow him to bring his korban? My umada hayesimi hayesi. Why is the essa of his eating his carbon more important than the isser asay, which is a lav haba michlal asay of hashlama? Amar avina, amar of chista. Well, wait a second. Remember, there are cases where a mechuser kippurim is only going to be bringing a bird. Let's imagine a case of a guy who is a mitzora. And he's a mitzora ani. So a mitzora ani, the Torah allows you to bring your chatas of as the korban that you're going to be bringing. You already brought your ayla. So besides his bird, which was an ayla, and his keves that he had to bring for an asham, he also had to bring the other bird as a korban chatas, and that he had left to the last minute. Now the thing is, the din over there is you're not going to be over on hashlama. Why? Because there's no part of Achatas Ha'ov that is put on the Mizbeach. It's only the Dam that's put on the Mizbeach, and that's not what the Mitzvah of Shlomo was talking about. That was talking about the Eish Al HaMizbeach. The Eish Al HaMizbeach, I don't put anything on the Eish Al HaMizbeach. So there is no Alea HaShleim on a Korban Ov, which is Achatas. And that's what it's talking about. Okay, so then he's right. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. There shouldn't be a problem. The reason perhaps the Tanakhama argues on him may be a gezerah that people may come to actually bring an oila, or maybe it's because they hold that the din of Alea HaShleim means all of the avodas of the korban should be done before. That's not clear. But in any event, it's certainly not a big deal to understand what Rabbi Shmuel's point was. Rav Papa says, I have a different explanation. I think we could be talking about even a chatas behima, and that would be his chatas that he had to bring, and he was an usher. But where does it say that you have to bring the carbon on the mizbeach in order for this guy to be able to eat from kachim? Doesn't say that. It says you had to be mechaper on him, right? Okay, so how are you mechaper on him? By the zrikas hadam. So take the dam of the behema, sprinkle it on the mizbeach, and do not bring the carbon. What? What do you mean do not bring? You're not allowed to sprinkle the dam and throw the carbon out. Of course not. You bring the carbon up to the top of the mizbeach, but you don't put it on the fire. And the din is that ein lina mo'elet barosh shashel mizbeach. Another klal. Lina does not apply once something is on the Mizbeach, even if it isn't burned on the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's not a problem. Once I bring these things up, look, a lot of karbonas are, we simply don't have time to burn everything during the day. Not so. So we bring the karbonas up, and then over the course of the night, we continue to burn the carbon. And that's not a problem. Let's say, well, wait a minute, the sun already set, and now it became pasul. Not true, because it's already on the Mizbeach. All I'm saying is that, says Rav Papa, is that we should do that lechatchila over here. Bring it up, make sure, tell everybody, excuse me, gentlemen, this carbon, speaking to all the kayanim, this particular carbon should not be put on the Mizbeach until tomorrow. Because otherwise you're going to be over on the Isra of Hashloma, you see. So you can be ma'alo me'lina arosh hasho Mizbeach. That would be what it's talking about. And wait a minute, and according to Rav Chista, Isn't Rav Chisda going to have to say the same thing? I mean, it's all very nice to talk about the Chatas Ha'ov, but I mean, the guy, even if he's poor, he still has to bring an animal because his Korban Hashem is an animal. So what about the Hashem? That is, anyway, you're going to have to come on to saying what Rav Papa said. Anyway, you're going to have to say something about what to do with the animal. You can't leave it just for a bird. How are you supposed to bring your Hashem? I mean, according to Rav Papa, yes, I understand. You do the same thing for the Hashem that you did for the Chatas over here. That's fine. But according to you, Rav Chisda, what are you going to say? You can't turn the Hashem into a bird. The Hashem is a keves and only a keves. No. Obviously, we're talking about that he had brought his Hashem before and he had just left the bird. Okay, well, what about the Eila, all right? Doesn't he have to bring his carbon Eila? Also, remember, he brings an Eila and a Chatas and an Hashem. So what's he going to do with his Eila? An Eila, even a bird, the boser of the Eila is put on the Mizbeach. The Eila Sa'of is put directly on the Mizbeach. It's only the Chata Sa'of where the Mizbeach only gets the blood. And how are you going to explain that? And don't try to tell me that you don't need to bring the Eila before you can eat kachim, meaning that the Eila is not ma'akev. That's what you'll try to tell me. Okay, so the Eila will bring it a different time. Does it not say in the Braita that Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan, he himself is the one who says that Kishem Shechatato Vashamo Makvinoto, Kach Olato Makavato, and the Eila is definitely Ma'akev as well, and therefore you're going to have to bring in the Eila. So what are you going to do about that? V'chi tema, you're going to try to tell me. Oh, well, it's talking, same thing I told you about the Asham. It's talking about that he brought the Asham before. Let's say the same thing. It's talking about he brought the Eila before. Ha ha ha. You can't say that. Because the Eila is always brought after the Chatas, as it says in the Pasuk. So v'chi tema, because you're Karval Lato, it's talking about that you had already brought the Karban Eila the same way that you had already brought the Karban Hashem. It says beferish in the Braita, v'ikriv et asher lechatat rishona. You always have to bring the Karban that you're bringing for the Chatas first, before you can bring the Eila. And this is talking about over here about a Karban Eila v'yoret, where if a guy is very poor, so then he's able to bring two ofot. Which one does he bring? He brings the one that's the Chatas first. Why does it tell me this? If it's to tell me the din that over here the Chatas comes first, I don't need that. Because Harei Kvar Nemar, it already says in the same parsha of the Karban Eila V'yoret, Ve'et Hasheni Yaseh Olak HaMishpat. The second Korban is the Eila. Okay, so it already said, I mean, obviously, if the second one is the Eila, then the first one is the Chatas. There's only two, so why do you have to repeat it, right? I mean, there's no reason to say, V'ikrivet Hasheh L'chatat Rishona, if you already called the other one the Shniyah. Elazeh B'neyav L'kol Chataot Adarabah. What this is coming to tell me is a universal halacha. Whenever you're bringing a Chatas and an Eila, you always have to bring shiyu kodmot the kololot abaotimayim. Wherever there's a pair, the Chatas has to be brought first. And we even extend this beferish in Zvachim, because it turns out I don't need it to teach me anything but the chiddush that afilu chatata of kodemet lo olad beima. My God, forget about before the other bird. But even if you would be bringing a carbon eila, which is an animal carbon eila, this would still be true. This is a case of a yoledet. So a yoledet who is rich, so she brings a keves as an eila, and she still brings an oaf as a chatas. And this means that the chatas is going to come before, this means the 10-cent chatas is going to come before a $10,000 eila. Fine. Okay, but anyway, so what's the answer? How are we going to bring the carbon eila? Omar Rava, wait a second. You're talking about a mitzora, right? I mean, that's the only case that we have over here. We need to bring the Asham and the Chatas and an eila. Well, an eila's mitzora is fundamentally different. Because the Rachmana Omar, the Torah says, beferish, ve'he'ela ha'kohen et ha'ola. What that means, instead of saying ve'et ha'ola ya'ale, which is the normal way, to say ve'he'ela means ve'he'ela kvar, meaning that in this case he had already brought up the ola, and that means that even if the ola is brought before the chatas, it still works. And that's the case that we're talking about over here, according to Rav Chisda, because he can't come up with a solution to just put something up on the Mizbeach and don't bring it on the Mizbeach. Omale Rav Shama bar Abba l'Rav Papa. I don't get it. I mean, what you're saying to do is a disaster. You're saying take a carbon, which in the event that somebody will inadvertently put it on the Mizbeach, he's going to be over on the mitzvah saseh of Hashlama, right? And you're saying stick it up there on the Mizbeach together with another 300 carbonists that had no problem because they already were brought before the Dam was Nizrak, before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and they are just in line waiting to be put on the fire of the Mizbeach, right? Which is standard. And that's perfectly okay. As long as you brought the carbon before, you're allowed to burn it the whole night after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, obviously. And you're saying, stick this carbon up there on the Mizbeach. And you tell me what the likelihood is that some Kohen or another is not going to come running up and say, oh, yummy, yummy, here's another carbon. Let me just throw it onto the fire. He's going to throw it onto the fire. And he's going to be over on the Isser of Ashlama. And you're being makshel him. How could you do that? What, you really say that we should do something? This is why you want to treat the Kohanim? That you're going to, because this guy has to eat his carbons, because of that, you're going to say, okay, big deal, you know, so the Kohanim will be nikshal in an Isser. I mean, they are obviously going to think, the Savri, they're going to think the Yumehu, they're going to think that this was brought properly with the Dam before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and it's supposed to be brought overnight, and they're going to come and they're going to be mocked at it. Omar Lay, so he says, what? Come on, man, we're talking about Kohanim. Can you imagine Barnea making a mistake like that? Oh, I don't think he's here. So obviously, Kohanim are Zrizimim, and they would never make those kind of mistakes. I mean, who's going to remind you to drink every six lines, right? It's only a Kohen who's Zoriz. Shoot, I'm wasting all of this without a Barnea present. Terrible. Yeah, but I can't tickle him. I mean, first of all, he never shows his face. And secondly, he never claims to be Zoriz. Okay. So, with apologies to all other Kohanim here. Anyway, so, okay, that's why the Kohanim, you don't have to be Choshish for a Takola. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. Some say it's Amalei Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Nosson l'Rav Papa, that there's another problem over here. The other problem is, this is an adorable problem, okay? You're leaving the carbon to be brought tomorrow, right? Aha! But if you leave the carbon to be brought tomorrow, then the Kohanim are not going to be able to eat the meat of that carbon either, because the halacha is that until the emurim are brought, the Kohanim are not zocha in the part that's for them, right? So hakokama delo mitkatre emurim, Kohanim lo matzi achle basar. That's a given. Because we learned this in a bright yochel, you Kohanim Rishoyim because of a shokar maktara seimurim. You might think that the chelek that you give to the Kohanim of your shlomim, because of a shok, they have a right to eat before you bring the emurim of those shlomim. Talmud lomar, first, viktira kohen et hachelav hamizbecha, and then, vihaya hechazel aharon ulvanav, and this teaches me that you cannot eat anything until the emurim are brought, okay? So, okay, no, so far no problem. Now, let me present my problem, okay? My problem is that if the Kohanim are not going to eat from your chatas, then you, the Mechusar Kippurim, are still going to be Mechusar Kippurim because it requires the Kohanim's eating in order to affect the Kapora. And, of course, that's what we're looking for over here, Mechusar Kippurim, you're missing the Kapora. And it says, the Tanya, V'ochlu otam asher kupar behem, as it says in the Miluim, which means that the ones melamed shakohanim ochlim asher kupar behem, means that through the achila of the kohen, we achieve the kapora. And therefore, you can't have a mechusar kippurim who's going to go eat his carbon pesach if the kohanim haven't eaten. Answers, whoever it was asked to, either of Kahn or of Papa, either of them have the same problem. I said to him, that's not a problem. Because Kivan Deloy Afshar, in this case, there is no way for us to be a Makriv the Emurim. So ask yourself, what is the halacha in a case where the Emurim became Tameh? Or where the Emurim were lost? What's the din over there? The din over there is that the Kohanim do eat and complete the Kapora. So, Asa'um, Kamisha Nitmu, Osha Avdu. And that it says in a Braita, you might have thought that if the Emurim were actually lost, or they were tamei. You might think that then the kohanim can never be zochin the chaz of a shark of the shlomi based on the pasuk that we said before. That's why it repeats Talmud Amar v'haya hechazel aaron ulevanav kamehel or high water. Make sure that they get that. I don't care what happened to the rest of the carbon. And of course, the story in the Miluim is in fact addressing cases where something happened to the carbon. Remember, that was the sreifa of the Sereshel Rosh Chodesh. So it all makes sense in context. And therefore, in this case, we don't really have a problem about the Achilas Kohanim, despite the fact that we're not going to. So in other words, when the Torah said to be makriv the emurim, it meant if there are emurim, to be makriv the emurim, and then have Aaron eat. But not that without a hakravas emurim, Aaron can't eat. We misunderstood that pasuk. Okay, now, as far as this pasuk is concerned, called Hashloma, Alea Hashleim Kol HaKarbonot Kulam, right? So how do we explain the fact that, now, I mean, we've been taking this for granted that you can have a bunch of karbonas up there and you're makriv those karbonas all night long, and how you makriv karbonas all night long if you're not allowed to bring anything on the Mizbeach after the karbon tamid shel bein arba'im? I'm totally confused. So Rivkana Rami, and this, of course, clarifies what we've been taking for granted all along through this discussion today, namely that once you brought the dam, you were already mashlim the carbon. Then afterwards, bringing the basar is okay. Our concern was only in this crazy case where we were only going to be makriv the dam, only be zorik the dam after the tamid shel bein arba'im, right? But we never showed how we know that in the pasuk. So now the Gemara is getting to question the underlying assumption that we've been making, that once you bring the dam, it's okay. So Rav Kahana points out what appears to be a stira in the psukim. On the one hand, it says, V'lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker. Whoa. Chelev chagi is my chelek in the korban chagiga. So this could be the Korban Chagigas Arba Asa that's brought together with the Korban Pesach. It could be the Korban Chagiga that's brought on Yontif, which is called the Chagigas Chamisha Asa, or on any Yontif. I mean, here it's talking about the Pesach. So that cannot be left until the morning. What do you mean until the morning? In other words, up until the morning, there's no problem. So Ad Bokeru de Lo Yalin, but you could allow it to be up there all night and just make sure you burn it before the morning? And doesn't it say Viktir Aleh Chaveh Shlamim? And Ravad said Aleh Hashleim Kolab Karbanot Kulam. So why isn't the very fact that you can bring the Imurim all night long a contradiction to the mitzvah of Hashlama? Rav Kahana, who asked the question, actually answers it by showing that that's the whole point. Hu motiv lavu mifarekla. He asked this, and he shows you that that's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. That in the first pasuk, we're talking about kishenitotru, where you had the chalavim, the emurim, that they were left over from a carbon that was brought before the tamid shel bein arba'im. And I did this rikas adam, and I brought this up to the mizbeach. In that case, there's no problem of ad boker, and there's no problem of lina, as long as it's on the mizbeach. Fine. Romi le'rif safra le'rav, another contradiction. On the one hand, it says, Lo yalin laboker zevach chaga pasach. Don't leave anything of the carbon pesach until the morning, which is mashma. You cannot leave it until the morning. But you could allow it all night long as you burned it before the morning. Now, hold on a minute. I don't get it. The Pesach is brought on Erev Pesach. And the night of Pesach is Yontif. And I thought you are not allowed to bring a carbon that had been brought b'chol, like the carbon Pesach is, and be mechalal yontiv by bringing the emurim overnight. Now, how in the world are we allowed to be makriv the emurim of a carbon Pesach brought b'chol, Erev Pesach, on the night of yontiv? V'haktiv olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. You can only bring a carbon on Shabbos or Yontif if it was the carbon of that Shabbos or Yontif. But you cannot bring an Olat Chol on Shabbat, and you cannot bring an Olat Chol on Yom Tov. So what heter is there to burn the Emurim of the carbon Pesach on the night of Pesach? It's too late. You had to make sure it was burned during the day because it's a carbon Chol. Omar Lay, oh, that's a famous kasha. Rabbi Abba Bar Chiya pointed out this problem to Rabbi Abbo. And Rabbi Abbo said to him, you know what? We're talking about where Erev Pesach was a Shabbos. Brilliant answer. So if Erev Pesach was a Shabbos, then that means that the korban that was brought was a korban of Shabbos. And a korban of Shabbos, you are allowed to be makriv the emurim on Shabbos and koshekin on yontif. And Chalvei Shabbos are kreivim b'yom tov. So Rav Safra said, that's crazy. I mean, you're going to try to tell me that just because you found a way that the pasuk makes sense and shouldn't be a contradiction to you, I mean, this is the ultimate rabbinic chutzpah. You're going to take a pasuk in the Torah that is talking about every Pesach, loyalin chelav chagiyat haboker. And because you're such a smarty pie, you've decided what that really means is don't leave chelav chagi when Erev Pesach came out on a Shabbos and there was stuff left over. Then don't leave it until the morning of, oh, come on, man, that's crazy. Just because of that, you're going to actually have the chutzpah, anan neku. We're going to get up and we are going to proclaim, here is the way to learn the holy words of the Lord. Because we figured out that it's got to be talking about Shabbos. It's crazy. If you're really going to have the chutzpah to say that? Said Rav, listen, you know, we're not saying it. The pasuk is saying it. And stop saying we read things in. We don't read things in. Shavke lekra, just let go, baby. You don't control the pasuk, okay? Let it go. It's telling you how to be read. It's pushing you. It is explaining on its own how to read. That's the meaning of a drasha, my friend. Don't give me this modern way of looking at, oh, so you figured that's not the point. The pasuk has very clearly pushed you into a corner to say, will you use your brains to understand what we're talking about? Gorgeous. I love it too.